This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
That's right. As we do 40 teams and 40 shows, nobody's more Notre Dame than our next guest, Joe Theismann, always kind to join us on the show. Welcome in, Joe. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, guys. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's great talking with you. I mean, we can go a lot of directions with Notre Dame, but your old position, the quarterback position, seems to be the biggest question mark going into the season, or one of the production at that position seems to be one of the biggest question marks.
Well, you know, last year I think it was even bigger with, Brandon going from scout team to starter and Ian being a freshman, and then Chip in his first year as the offensive coordinator. There was an awful lot of uncertainty, I think, that went into last year, some kids getting suspended. So there was a lot of drama, a lot of question marks, a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience. All those things are a part of the past now. I was at the spring game and extremely impressed with the size and speed of our wide receivers. I think, obviously, when you replace two first-round picks in the offensive line, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, the one thing Notre Dame has been able to do on a very consistent basis is find, you know, really good offensive and defensive linemen. And so, you know, that allows you to put your head on the pillow a little bit more comfortably. But I think Brandon's going to be a better football player, and certainly Ian has the ability to play the position as well. So I'm excited about this football team. I mean, we get a great test on Michigan being our first game.
You know, this was a really good defensive unit, less than 22 points per game in 2017. You returned nine starters on that side of the football. But how big of a loss is defensive coordinator Mike Elko now at Texas A&M?
Well, you know, it's always next man up. It's really funny. We talk about it from a player standpoint, but nobody ever talks about it from a coaching standpoint. You know, Mike's a terrific individual and you know, put in, I think, a great scheme, which will be carried forward going forward. I think we got some really good young corners that can play. We had a lot of inexperience a year ago. So, you know, when you say you return nine and they were pretty darn good, you know, you get help from the offense, and that's running the football, and that's what we did very well a year ago. But I feel very comfortable with the entire football team, to be honest with you.
We saw it last year with Georgia, but with having to play the ACC schedule as well, Notre Dame's always a big game for everybody on their schedule. For Notre Dame people, how good does it feel? How important was it to get Michigan back on the schedule?
I think it was important. I mean, you know, Michigan's one of those blue-chip teams. You've got Stanford. You've got Florida State on the schedule, USC. I mean, if we can do what I think we're capable of doing, it's going to be hard to keep us out of the Final Four because I think our schedule dictates that the competition that you play is always something the committee looks at. Notre Dame is playing some really, really good football teams going forward. But, you know, to be able to open against Michigan, and, you know, with Jim Harbaugh, you never quite know what you're going to get. I mean, Jim's that kind of a guy. It's like, okay, what are they going to do? They got a young quarterback transfer from Mississippi. I think he's a pretty good football player. So the nice thing is it's at our house. You know, that's the big thing. And I think there is a distinct advantage in college football when you play in someone else's place. And so the kids from Michigan will have to come down to Notre Dame, and the stadium's fantastic. The size of it, the way it's built, everything about it is just unbelievable.
Joe Theismann is with us. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter @Theismann7 on Twitter. And he's kind enough to join us to talk a little Notre Dame football, as it's our preview team today here on the show. One thing we talk about on this show, and I'm curious from a player's perspective, from the guys you know that played at Notre Dame and when you played there, the one thing that is unique about Notre Dame is when you lose a game like the Michigan game, if Michigan loses the Notre Dame game, they can still go win the Big Ten. There is no conference to win for Notre Dame. It is a national championship, or you don't get a ring. How does that wear on you as a player when maybe an early loss used to would maybe knock you out of it, maybe it doesn't in the playoffs now, but just knowing that it's national championship or bust, really?
Well, you don't think of a loss. You know, compared to the New England Patriots, do you really think the New England Patriots, which is a game I'm doing tomorrow night with the Redskins, do you really think the New England Patriots line up and say, gosh, you know, we really have to win the AFC East? You know, we really have to do that. I mean, we've got Buffalo, Miami. You know, we need to beat these football teams. No. Their focus is solely on winning a world championship, and I think it's great. I think it's great to have your eye on the big prize. And you know, Notre Dame recruits to win a championship. You look around at a lot of the conferences, guys. They recruit to win the conference. Their football team is built to compete against people inside their conference. Now, the SEC certainly is a major player, maybe the exception to the rule. But being an independent, you get to focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's the big prize. And I think that's great.
Two of the last 3 years, I mean, Notre Dame's been right around it with 10 wins. They've been in the top five. You go back to 2012, they played for a national championship going 12-1. As Brian Kelly rolls into year number nine, where are Notre Dame fans on Brian Kelly?
I think they want to see what coach is going to do. I think this is probably one of the better football teams that he's had. It's a more veteran football team. He's got some veteran leadership at the quarterback position, which has been in flux a little bit. I think the personality of the football team is going to be play great defense, run the football, but take advantage of the opportunities that Chip Long, being the coach that he is as a coordinator, is able to provide. You know, Brian turned all the play calling over to him a year ago. So this is a football team that under the radar has sort of been in transition on the offensive side of the ball. And I give Brian a lot of credit. It's so hard to wear so many hats as a head coach at any level, whether it's college or professional football. You have to be able to delegate and give the people a chance to do the job that you brought in. You trusted them to bring them in. Now trust them to do the job you ask them to do it. And that's what Brian's doing. Now, I think everybody wants to see, okay, you've got your players in place. You've got your coaches in place. Let's see what we can do as a football team. I have a tremendous amount of confidence in Brian's ability to be able to get this thing to the next level.
Joe Theismann with us. He also part of the broadcast tomorrow night, Washington in New England, as the NFL exhibition season goes to its first full weekend. With that in mind, is Washington better at quarterback now than they were a year ago? The same? What's your thoughts on that, Joe?
You call me in 16 weeks and I'll answer that. it's so hard. I mean, Alex put up his best year last year. Kirk has had an outstanding career, a year so far. His 3 years have been 4,000 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio has been great. He's got a tremendous amount of weapons around him up in Minnesota. I think Minnesota went all in on Kirk Cousins. It's your job to get us to the Super Bowl. Again, it's not like, okay, we have to win the NFC North. We have to beat Detroit. We have to beat Green Bay. We have to beat Chicago. It's not that. That's not what Minnesota's looking at. And I think for us, Alex brings a little bit of a different style. They're really not that different, although Alex will throw the ball a little more 50-50 balls. Alex has a little bit more escapability than Kirk did. So, those are the two subtle differences in them. But, heck, if he can post the same kind of numbers that Kirk has posted and win some of the close games that have escaped Kirk, you'd have to say that Alex has done the job he was brought in to do.
By the way, for you local folks, this is an interesting game Joe is doing because you got a lot of local talent in this one. Casey Dunn and Casanova McKenzie from Auburn fighting for roster spots there. Sean Dion Hamilton from Alabama fighting for a roster spot. You got Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Ryan Anderson, Cam Sims from Alabama. You guys raided this state down here, Joe.
Oh, heck yeah. Why not? If you can get your hands on Alabama football players, why not? Nick does such a great job. And, you can look through the annals of college football and you won't find anybody better. I mean, it's every young man that I've sat down with from Alabama, it's the person that I'm impressed with. The football skills, the statistics, the numbers, all that stuff you can see that. But when you sit down with young men that have come out of Alabama and the mindset that they have, it answers the question, why has Alabama been so good? Why are they able to do what they can do? Yes, they've got terrific coaching. Yes, they have great leadership. Nick is exceptional. But he's a disciplined individual. It's the same thing with Bill Belichick. You don't win championships by just, having great players. Take a look at the decision that Nick made last year to change quarterbacks at halftime. Monumental. Who's going to do that? And, Jalen is, I'm sure, a fine young man. He runs the ball well, but he just can't throw the football well, period. And to play that position, you have to be able to throw the football effectively at every level. Nick made the decision, and it made the difference. Now, I'm still convinced he wasn't throwing the ball to the guy that caught it at the end of the game there. I still think it was going to someone else, but,
oh, yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the great debates, I think, in college football last year is who was the young quarterback throwing to?
Yeah, the last touchdown in regulation, a couple of guys were there, but one caught
yeah.
it. The one caught it, and that's what matters,
exactly right? The one you needed to show up did.
Joe, it's a pleasure talking with you always. We greatly appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Great catching up with you. Take care.
All right, you too. Joe Theismann with us on the Bud Light Orange Hotline, brew with real orange pills. Bud Light Orange delivers a clean, crisp taste of orange in every sip. He's obviously talking about the last regulation touchdown, not the one in overtime.
Devontae Smith, I think that was...
Yeah, he was pretty wide open.
The one Ridley came across
right,
on the
right.
fourth down play.
Right.
Golden Domer, before we take our final break of the day. Hey, Golden Domer, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was going to talk about the McGregor fight, but I'll call y'all back on that. I didn't realize Notre Dame was y'all's team of the day. But I respectfully have to disagree with Mr. Theismann there, because when I look at this Notre Dame team, I don't think there's any way they're a playoff team. And the main reason is because we're replacing our leading rusher, replacing our leading wide receiver, replacing our defensive coordinator, and replacing two of the best offensive linemen we probably ever have. And to think that we'll be able to compete for losing that much production against the top 10 schedule, I think it's just being extremely optimistic. I think Notre Dame has a lot of potential, but with this schedule, there's no way they're going to go through there without three losses.
But three losses? Who beats
them? Yeah, I mean, I've got them with three losses as well. I think they're a 9-3 team.
Because I got them beating USC. I got them beating Stanford.
That's a toss-up game, but they could easily lose that game. They have teams like Virginia Tech nobody's talking about, teams like Stanford, teams like USC, a Florida State. I mean, honestly, guys, if Brandon Wimbush doesn't improve dramatically, this could easily be a 5-win team. They have absolutely no proven playmakers. I mean, Josh Adams is gone. Their Equanimeous St. Brown is gone. Who do you rely on? When you need that first down, who do you rely on? There is no proven productivity on the offense at all.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, the offensive line coordinator, Chip Long, the only games that we had a productive offense was when we could just offensively, our offensive line could just maul the defense. When we played teams like LSU and Georgia, our offense was stagnant. He had no answer when we could not just run the ball right down somebody's throat. I'm not convinced on Chip Long.
You got it. Thank you for the call, Golden Dumber. You got a tricky trap game on this schedule, and I believe it's in the Meadowlands, but it's Syracuse. And Dino Babers is a good football coach. They were good enough to beat Clemson last year.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.